Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. This week, we continue our series called The Way, and we learn about finding personal direction in life. If you struggle making decisions, then this is the series for you. We invite you to learn more about Cornerstone. You can visit us online at mycornerstone.org or visit us in person in downtown Galax at 9:15 or 11 a.m. each Sunday. Thanks for joining us.
Sorry, y'all. Give me just a second. Get everything set up here. Be ready to go. Some water. By the way, if it's your first time here, I'm not the pastor, so don't freak out because I'm in shorts and flip-flops and I'm sitting in a chair. But I thought if I was going to preach, I might as well be comfortable, right? So we got the setup here. Let me get everything moved around. Got my coffee, got my Bible. Give me just a second here. I'm going to flip this open to somewhere where there's lots of highlighting and notes. And then I got to post a picture to Instagram. Hashtag blessed, right? This is it. Gotta be comfortable. I'm not really going to do that, but so this is really what Christianity is, right? That's what it is now. You see social media, y'all can't see me over there. Hey, on social media, that's what it is, right? You're really spiritual if you post a picture of your Bible and coffee and in your cozy chair and just living the life, right? That's what it's all about. Okay, so really that's not what it's about. I'm about to knock my water over here. But that's kind of what we've turned it into today, right? We've turned God's way into our way, the comfortable way, the American way, right? We pursue comfort in everything we do. We want to have success. We want to have just the best life we can have and look good doing it, right? So, sorry if you're watching online, there's probably a glare from my legs, and I'm sure it can't be any worse than the one off of Eugene's head, but we'll get going here. All right, so we're in this series called The Way, and we're going to talk a little bit more about The Way, and what we're talking about here is looking to God for direction, looking for our direction from God, and knowing where He wants us and doing it. So last week we talked about, Mike talked about a passage of Scripture from Acts where Paul, he had this plan to go somewhere and do something, a certain thing, and God redirected him. Like there was a roadblock. He couldn't go where he planned to go, so he ended up going to a totally different continent because that's where God had led him to. And because of that, many lives were changed. Hopefully you all remember that. It was just a week ago, and you were paying attention and remember that. So if you were here last week, that is. But he was in tune with what the Spirit wanted him to do, so he followed. It wasn't really what he had planned. And if you read and study a little bit about Paul, you find out that he was arrested a couple times. He was in prison, and a lot of Scripture he wrote was written in prison. He was writing letters to different churches from prison. And the Scripture we're going to look at today is one of those instances in Philippians. So if you've got a Bible and you plan to follow along, we're not quite there yet, but be flipping over to Philippians chapter 1. And, you know, again, Paul was put in prison a couple times, and I'm sure his plan for ministry was not to go get arrested. I'm sure he didn't say, hey, I know how I can spread the gospel. I'll go get arrested and thrown in prison. That'd be perfect. You know, if he wanted to minister to prisoners and guards, he could have started a prison ministry, right? That's what we do today. But anyway, he ended up being arrested, and it didn't really matter. He still rejoiced in it. He was glad that God sent him to prison. It sucked for him. It wasn't fun, but he was there, and so he made the most of it. And because of his obedience, even if it wasn't comfortable, people heard the gospel. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. Sometimes God's way can mean that. We can get into trouble and we can end up doing something that's not comfortable. And like I said, we've kind of made this thing, whole Christianity thing about pursuing comfort and safety and possessions and all these different things. But if we look to Scripture, that's really not what it's all about, right? And usually when I preach, it's comes from a conviction of in my own heart. So today I'm not throwing stones at you. I'm not judging you or trying to guilt you into something. This is coming from my heart, what God's laid on my heart and convicted me with over the past couple weeks. So just know that as we go through this. Again, Paul says that the way is to value Christ above everything. So throughout this message, I'm going to use that little phrase three or four, maybe five times. And if you're following along, you want to write that down. I encourage you to do that. That phrase is Christ above all else. So we're gonna say that a few times, but just to write it down and help you remember that, Christ above all else. And there's times, you know, we put our plans ahead of God's plans because we think we know better, right? And a lot of times don't even listen to God. We're just like, I'm going this way. I don't care. I'm just going to go do it. Sometimes we ask God for direction and then we don't follow it. And sometimes we don't even ask because we know it might be uncomfortable, right? Sometimes we're like, God forbid, we ask him what he should have us to do and he says, get on a plane for the first time and go to Nicaragua or India or something like that. Or maybe he asks you to go down the street and talk to somebody you've never seen. Maybe somebody that looks maybe like they're a drug addict, or if they're a homeless person, maybe he's going to call you to do something like that that wouldn't be so much fun. Or maybe he call you to go downstairs and teach little kids that are running around crazy. That'd be uncomfortable for some of us, right? So we're going to jump into Scripture here. Again, we're in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12. I'm going to read through verse 24, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. It says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, and to tell all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. Sorry, I have a hard time with those shhs. So, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So, I asked a couple weeks ago, I mentioned the song that we just sang, To Live is Christ, because I knew I was going to be doing this passage of Scripture. So as we sang that song, I hope you paid attention to the words, because a lot of them come from this passage of Scripture. Like, help me to not focus on my successes and my comfort, but to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we're going to jump right in here. Your first point in your bulletin is God's way can mean suffering. So like I said, Paul, I'm sure he didn't plan on being in prison. It was not fun. I'm sure it was a pretty bad place to be in his day. But because of his suffering, the gospel was spread. And how we react to suffering can show a lot of people the way, right? It shows the way to Christ. If we turn to Christ and we show people how, even in our suffering, we can turn back to God. And Paul sees his imprisonment as a good thing, right? He's far from comfortable there. And he says, I see it as a good thing. I rejoice in it. Why? Because of Christ. And that's all he's worried about. His life is Christ. We're going to read verse 12 here. I want you to know, brothers, what happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So because of his imprisonment, the whole imperial guard has found out about the gospel, right? They got to hear the gospel. And many people have become more bold in sharing the gospel. Because of Paul's imprisonment, many, many people got to hear the gospel. So through his suffering, Christ was glorified. And it says, because it was known by many that Paul was not really guilty of any kind of crime, right? He was arrested for preaching Christ. He didn't really do anything wrong. So you think about that today. If somebody's arrested and put in prison for really not breaking a law just because they don't like what they're doing, they put them in prison, people be talking, right? We'd be saying, look, do you know about so-and-so? All they did was talk about Jesus, and they got put in prison. So that's what's happening here. People were talking out in the city and in the towns, and they're talking to each other and saying, hey, Paul's in prison, but he's there because he believes in Christ, that Christ is the Messiah and that he died for your sins. So through Paul's suffering, people were hearing the gospel. And then in verse 14, he says, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So even people who are believers and maybe not have been so bold, now they're even more bold, which sounds kind of weird. It's like, this guy got locked up for preaching the gospel, and then they get more bold and go talk about the gospel. Doesn't make sense, but that's what's happening. So we continue on here. I'm going pretty fast. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only in that, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. So here we go again. No matter the circumstance, Paul's rejoicing that in the fact that Christ has been proclaimed, no matter where he's at, right? Verse 18, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two, and my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Here we go again. Whatever happens to Paul, it doesn't matter. Even death. He says even death is a glorifying Christ. So Christ is his life. He's above everything else. There's that phrase. Christ above all else. That's Paul. That's what Paul's saying here. He's like, it doesn't matter. Christ is being glorified no matter where I'm at, no matter what the circumstance is. He says, if I'm in prison, Christ. People are preaching, Christ. If I live, Christ. If I die, Christ. Whatever happens, Christ. And most importantly, Christ, right? That's what he's saying, just over and over and over. Even in death, he says, even if I die, it's gain. Christ will be glorified no matter what. My body is here to glorify Christ. He says, I want to depart and be with Christ. I want to be with Jesus. This place sucks. I want to go be with Jesus. I'm in prison. This is not fun. I want to be with Jesus, but this is where God wants me. For your account. That's what he says. God wants me here. This is the way, and God wants me to go. This is his direction for my life. It's not fun, but that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be, where Christ wants me. So I want to share a little story here. I'm not going to mention any names, but a lot of people know the people I'll be talking about. So there's a couple of friend of ours that they were married a few years ago. Just beautiful couple, great faith they have. They found out last year they were pregnant, all excited, got to, you know, get the nursery ready, get the families all excited, getting gifts and all this stuff lined up for their baby, got plans, you know. They carry the baby full term, a couple weeks past full term, actually, and when the baby's born, the baby's stillborn. So, you know, that hurts, right? I remember the morning that Brandy came to me. She said, I'm just completely heartbroken. And I never thought she would say the baby didn't make it, but that's what she told me. She said the baby didn't make it. So in the midst of all their suffering, you think there's nothing good about this, right? There's nothing good about losing a baby. It hurts. It's horrible. It's a horrible feeling. But through all that, Christ has been glorified because of their faith, because they cling to God's plan and know that God's plan is perfect. No matter what they had planned, they know that God's plan is better, even if it hurts. It hurts every day, but because of their faith and their knowing and trusting in God, they know that it's going to turn out for the better if they just follow God's plan. So through their suffering and through their how they reacted to it, how they showed their faith, now don't get me wrong, it hurt, and they've admitted to that, and it hurts every day. But because of how they reacted and saying, you know what, God's plan is better than my plan, many people have strengthened their own faith, and probably some people have come to faith in Christ because of what they've done. Many people that probably would have never heard the gospel or seen a faith like that were able to see it. So Paul's example here is exactly like that couple's example. They, no matter what happened, even if it really, really hurt, they followed what God wanted them to do. They know God's plan is better than theirs. So sometimes our suffering is not fun, but it turns people to Jesus. And that's what it's all about, is glorifying Christ through every situation. And here's that phrase again, Christ above all else. Christ above all else. All right, we're going to jump to Philippians 3. Let me get me a drink of water real quick. All this reading gets me dry mouth. All right, Philippians 3, we're going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to kind of pause in between and talk about it a little bit. So he says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So if we look back at that, the beginning of that scripture there, Paul says, look out for the dogs. And he's not talking about like wolves and coyotes and like stray dogs. He's talking about people. This group of people called Judaizers who they taught that in order for Gentiles to be saved, that they had to not only have Jesus, but to follow all the customs and traditions of the Jewish law. So they taught like things like circumcision and things of laws about food and what you can wear and what you can do. They said, yeah, you can have Jesus, but to really get it, you got to do all this other stuff. So it was all this other stuff plus Jesus. And Paul's telling them, look out for those people. Don't listen to them. They got it all wrong. So here's the next point in your bulletin. Don't depend on your flesh. Don't depend on your flesh. Paul says, don't listen to those people. He says, if anybody can boast in the flesh, if anybody can have confidence in their status, what they've done or who they are, it's me. If you've got confidence, I can have more because here's all these reasons why that I can be confident. Here's this list of reasons why God loves me. All right, so he says, circumcised on the eighth day. What that means is he was born into a Jewish family, and the eighth day was when God commanded the babies to be circumcised. He says, we follow the Jewish custom. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, he says, I'm part of God's chosen people. I'm part of that covenant relationship that God has. He says, from the tribe of Benjamin. And Benjamin was, his tribe was one of the prominent tribes in the tribes of Israel. And the first king of Israel came from the tribe of Benjamin. And his name was Saul. So if you know the story about Paul, he was once named Saul. He was converted, changed his name to Paul. So he says, I'm named after the first king of Israel. He says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. He says, I was raised in a Jewish home. He says, I'm Jewish to the bone. Like I'm Jewish as they come. He says, as to the law, a Pharisee. When we hear a Pharisee today, we kind of think of it in bad terms because of how Jesus talked to him. He said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You guys just got it all wrong. But in their day, people looked up to the Pharisees. They were like the religious elite. They were like the people that had it all figured out. They followed the laws. They knew Scripture front to back. They followed everything to a T. So they were looked up to. So keep that in mind. He says, as to zeal, a persecutor. He said, I had so much zeal, I even tried to wipe out Christianity. I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. So I was, if you read in Acts chapter 7 and 8, you hear about Paul's conversion, and you hear about Stephen. Stephen was stoned for proclaiming the gospel. It says they drug him out in front of a man named Saul, and Saul approved of his death. So he says, I was against Christianity. And then it says he was even going into homes and dragging people out of their homes and having them arrested for being Christians. So he says, nobody had more zeal than me. He says, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. And when it came to the law, Paul fulfilled all of its demands. So he says, here's all these reasons why I can have confidence in everything that I can do. He says, if anybody can boast, I can boast because I have this family pedigree. I'm a Jewish to the bone. I follow the law to a T. I know all the scriptures. I know all the laws. I do it. And he says, if anybody can do it and have reason to boast in their flesh, I have more reason. If you can do it, I can do it better. And let's pick it up in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. He says, whatever gain I had from all those things, right? I'm a Jewish guy. I know all this. I know all the law. I'm a Pharisee. I'm zealous. I got all this stuff going for me. But whatever gain that gave me, I count it as loss. And he wants to make sure we understand that. So he repeats it three times. You go there in verse 7. I count everything I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. He wants us to understand that. He says, everything is a loss. And we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. We kind of plan out, of course, Mike has told many times, we plan out our sermon series and we kind of share what we're talking about with a couple people in the church and we get ideas on illustrations and things like that. But we talked about this word rubbish, that last word where he says, everything, I count it all as rubbish. And if you look that word up, the original word It means there's multiple words that can use to describe it. I like, there's one particular one I like, but it says garbage, refuse, or excrement, or the dung of any kind of animal, right? So if you're being politically correct, it's dung, but I like to use the word crap. So hopefully I won't get in trouble for saying crap up here, but, and that reminds me of I gave a little joke first service, but it reminds me of an even better way to say it. But you know what Mary said when she opened the first dirty diaper? Holy crap. Sorry. Okay, so anyway, Paul says, everything I have is like garbage. It's like crap, right? Everything I have, all my possessions, everything that I've gained, all my Jewish customs, my family, it doesn't matter. It's all crap. It's all trash. It's all garbage. Everything he had is counted as loss in order to know Christ. Christ is the only thing that matters. You know, he says, counted as loss in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness that comes from the law, not from my flesh, but through faith through Christ. Fast forward to 2019, you might give yourself this that resume that Paul had there. You might use some of these things to give yourself a little credit, your flesh. And you say, I go to church. I got a good job. I got bring home a pretty good salary, right? Got a nice house. I got a good family. Nice car. I don't steal. I'm pretty honest. You know, I live a morally upright life. I'm not a bad guy. I memorize some scripture. I sit in my chair every morning, my happy place. I forgot to mention that. My pillow says my happy place. Sit in my happy place, drink my coffee, and read my scripture. Man, I got this thing. If anybody's going to heaven, it's me. He said it's all garbage. It's all garbage. It's all crap. That's some strong language, right? Everything we have, all our possessions, is all rubbish. And my home, my family, my friends, my kids, everything I have is garbage in comparison to knowing Christ. That's what he's saying. Can you and I say that today? Can we say that everything we have is nothing in comparison to knowing Christ? Everything. Our family, our kids, we love our kids. Think about that. Is everything here considered rubbish compared to knowing Christ? We can have all sorts of things, earthly things, possessions, cars, success, safety, but none of it matters. None of it matters if we don't have Christ. We can do all that. We could even get up here and play in the praise band, right? Preach to somebody, but it doesn't matter if we don't have Christ. It's all garbage if we don't have Christ. Do we value Christ above all else? There's that phrase again, if you're following and want to write that down. Christ above all else. And growing up in church, I've heard these passages of Scripture several times, and you know, after a while, we kind of get a little bit numb to Scripture, and sometimes we might read through it and just skip over it. Yeah, I've heard that. You might take it as an exaggeration and think, there's no way Paul means that. Does he really mean that? Does he really love Jesus that much that he would give up everything? There's no way, right? That's what he's saying. He says, I give it all up. It's all garbage. That's one of the crazy things about God's word is no matter how many times we read it, if we read it a million times, on that millionth time, he might reveal something to us totally new, right? Like I said, this is coming from some conviction on me as I read through this stuff. But take your time. Don't breeze through the scriptures. Take your time and look at it. Look at what the words are really saying to you. Study it and look at it deeply. That's kind of what, as you're preparing for a message, you got to know what you're talking about, right? So as I got into this, man, it was just even more deep and deep and deep, just hit me even deeper every time. So God's word has the power to reveal something to us each time if we just pay attention and study through it. We're going to pick it back up in verse 12. So we're in Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Paul's saying, he says, hey man, I'm not perfect either. He's like, I haven't got there yet. He's like, don't think that I've got this figured out. I've not obtained that which I'm after. He says, I'm not perfect. I struggle with the flesh. I have to ask God to show me what to do. I have to ask God to give me direction. So he's giving us a little bit of comfort there. He's like, yeah, don't feel so bad. I don't have this thing quite figured out either. But then he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. So, your next point here in your bulletin is forget the past and press on. Forget the past and press on. Paul says, I forget the past, I press on, I strain forward for that prize. I strain forward to the prize of eternity with Christ. That prize ahead of me. This is the way, right? This is the way that God would have us to go. This is God's way for us. We focus on Christ, we forget about the past, we follow God's guidance, we listen to the Holy Spirit when He prompts us to do something, we put Christ above all else, and we strain forward to reach Him. Verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. It says, keep your eyes on those who are an example. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on those people who are following Christ. Many people are following those worldly desires. They're chasing after possessions. They're chasing after comfort, success. It says, don't follow them. They're seeking pleasure in earthly things. It says, follow the good examples. Their God is their belly. Their glory is they glory in their shame. So they boast in the things that they should be ashamed about. Does that sound like society today? A lot of people are boasting in things they should be ashamed about. He says, don't follow those people. Keep your eyes on us who have this thing, and we're following Christ. We're straining forward to Christ. Here's the best part of this, and you're probably saying amen. It's the end of my message, but verse 20 and 21, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Paul says, if we follow the way, if we value Christ above all else, that our citizenship is in heaven. We'll be transformed. Our bodies will not be down here in this crummy old place. We'll be transformed. We'll be with Him for eternity. But we have to follow the way. We have to put Christ above all else. If we do that, we have this promise that we'll be transformed. And if you think about this, you go back to where we started in Philippians 1. Paul says, to live is Christ, and then what? To die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Even if we lose our life here, once we stop breathing, Christ is there. He's gain. We got it. If we lose our life, Christ is gain. We can take all this stuff, all this worldly possession, our family, our friends, everything else, put it over here in the loss column, and Jesus in the gain column. No matter what happens, if we follow the way, that's our promise. We put Christ above all else. I want to wrap this thing up. I even finished earlier. No, I didn't either. First service, I had like 19 minutes left. You guys got 12 minutes. Sorry. So I think Travis talked a little bit longer, but it's all good. So let's keep this in mind in all seriousness. The possessions you have. Take this time as we go into our response time. Band's going to come back up. They're going to play a couple songs. As they're playing these songs, take this time to think about that one thing, that one possession or one fear, one thing that you're holding on to and that you would have the hardest time giving up for Christ. Like I said, that's I'm speaking for myself here as well as you guys. I have to think about what is that one thing that I have that I'm holding on to that I would have a really hard time letting go of and giving to Christ. I want you to think about that as we do these last couple songs. You might want to jot it down on a piece of paper as you take with you. You might want to come up here and put it in the prayer box. Write down that one thing that you would have the hardest time of letting go of to value Christ above that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You that it does challenge us, Lord. We pray that You would help us to, as we live this life, God, not to focus on seeking comfort and straining with everything in us to have the most and the best, but to strain towards You, Lord, because You are the ultimate gift. You're the ultimate gain. I pray that You just help us to focus on You as we go out to our jobs, to our schools, our homes, whatever it might be, Lord. Help us to put aside the garbage, the rubbish, and to focus on You, God. Thank You so much for that gift. We thank You that we can't earn it. We don't have to earn it, Lord, that our flesh is not strong enough, but You're there. Thank You for Jesus, Lord, and the sacrifice He paid. It's in His name we pray.